Curtain Radio. It's 21 minutes past 1 o'clock here at Curtain Radio. 23.5 degrees outside at the moment. Now, you may have heard the term amateur radio operator or ham radio operator before. They've been known to help out in emergencies. They've been known to speak to people up on the International Space Station. But what exactly is amateur radio? What is ham radio? Well, Daniel Sutton knows answers to all of those questions, and he joins us now. G'day, Daniel.
G'day, Jason. Thank you for that glowing introduction. I'll try and live up to it.
No problem at all. Now, just to describe the difference for me, why are you guys called amateurs? Does that mean that we here at the radio station are professionals?
That's what they tell me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I suspect they're correct.
Oh, well, come on.
He hasn't cut me off yet, so... Jason, the amateur radio is really a hobby of experimentation. So, I mean, we started over 100 years ago.
Wow.
And we started putting things together and sending little cracks of electricity through the airwaves around the world with Morse code. And then we innovated into all sorts of things. So we did TV. We started voice communication using vowels and all sorts of things. And people often confuse us with CB radio, which is something that...
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yes.
So CB, how does CB radio, I guess, differ to amateur radio?
In a nutshell, the operator is licensed in amateur radio. So we're given a slice of spectrum, which means we're given frequencies from all the way down there to all the way up there.
Right.
With CB radio, you get a radio, and the radio is licensed, not the operator. So you grab hold of that knob on the front, and it goes, come. Clunk, 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 and you've got preset frequencies, which is great because anyone can get on there and give it a go. With amateur radio, we just take it a level further because we can experiment. We can get up to weird and wonderful.
So why do you need to be licensed?
They get a bit toey about people putting out big signals in places they ought not to, like where emergency services or ABC or Curtin FM are operating. And to be fair, our equipment's capable of doing that. So we have to be licensed to use it, or they won't let us.
So, as I understand it, part of the licensing requirement, or at least it used to be, that you'd need to learn Morse code to get a license. Is that still the case?
Thankfully not.
Oh, thank goodness.
Back in the 80s, when I first came across amateur radio as a scout, it was, and that put me off.
Yeah.
These days it's not, but funny thing, because I don't have to, now I'm interested in doing
it.
Right. A lot of operators that still use Morse, but we've expanded into so many different things. We do a lot of digital work now. So the younger folk who are interested in, say, Arduino and computer interfaces, Raspberry Pis, things like that, we use a lot of that. So we can do cool things like connect our radios up to the telephone line or the internet. So somebody can ring us in an emergency and we can patch them through to their loved ones.
Okay, now that's the other thing, because I know that you guys are involved in helping out in emergencies. Tell us a bit more about that, because, you know, it's very interesting when volunteers like yourself can get involved and can do good deeds.
Thank you. So in Australia, we've got a pretty stable communication system. So we have amateurs locally, like the Peel Amateur Radio Club, who are involved heavily with SES, and they provide like a layer of additional assistance. In other countries, like the United States, when they get, you know, because they get those cracking storms through there in Texas, I think they had some not so long ago, and it wipes out all the mobile phones, it wipes out all the internet, and what you've got left is all these people who are not only experts at using their equipment, they're licensed, they are self-powered, so they can set up anywhere off a car battery, they can put up an antenna, and they can talk around the world.
Wow. I guess, you know, we've said you don't have to do Morse code anymore, but to get a license, there must be something that you need to study or learn.
There is. So locally, we do a lot of training. So there's no age restriction. Anybody can get an amateur license. For instance, scouts, commonly, they get involved in Jamboree, which is where they talk to scouts all around the world. And it's common for scouts who are interested to sit for 2 days and get their license, the foundation license.
Wow.
A lot of adults do it too. That's what I did a year ago. And from there, we've got different levels of license. So if you want to, let's say, put out a TV signal, we actually have access to part of the spectrum that ABC TV used to transmit their analog signal on, and we're allowed to use part of that. And so there are different parts of the spectrum we can do different things. So we can broadcast little pictures around the world, or if you've got the correct license, you can put proper television moving sound, you know, like you get when you turn the TV on.
Is this really a hobby for nerds, Daniel?
Definitely.
I thought you were going to say no, but okay.
No. Look, we have got all sorts. We have got people that drive taxis. We've got people, one of the guys, his day job is repairing things like the Channel 7, 9, 10 transmitters.
Right.
And another guy who's a professor of dentistry. There's all sorts of people, and it's a great evener because you pick up the microphone and you talk to someone who's got a common interest because they love radio. And they might be a kid who's interested in sending files to his mate the other side of the country and wants to do it old school. It's very, you know, these days, records and film photography, amateur radio is right up there. We use valves and all sorts.
Yeah. I often see vehicles like four-wheel drives or caravans with a marking on the side that I understand is their license code.
That's right. So it actually correlates really closely to our postcodes. So we have a postcode in WA that begins with a 6. So our licenses over here all start with Victor Kilo, that's VK, which stands for Australia, and 6, which means we're in Western Australia. Whereas if we were in, let's say, South Australia, it would be Victor Kilo 5. And then you've got a couple of unique letters after that, which mean you. And that is literally your station identifier.
Right. And oftentimes, like on the back of a caravan, they'll say, you know, we're listening on UHF 53 or something like that. Is that amateur radio, or are we back into CB world?
That's CB.
Right.
Pretty handy when you're out and about because, you know, a lot of people on the road have got CB. And that's a wonderful. You'll find most amateurs started with CB and still enjoy playing with CB. We just get a lot of extra things that we can do by. We can talk to astronauts, for instance.
Well, I was. The International Space Station, I know that amateurs, ham operators have talked to them before. Have you ever done such a thing?
I haven't, but there are some guys I hang around with who have, and they actually did it from outside the Alexander Library building in Perth as a public demo of, some years ago. And I'm thinking we should do something like that again.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty good indication of how powerful this equipment really is.
And strangely, some of it is really low power. We can actually get up to the astronauts on fairly small wattage because there's nothing between us and them.
Yeah, and it's only a couple of hundred kilometres, yeah.
That's right, they're straight up.
So talk to me just for a moment, and I don't want to get too nerdy here, but talk to me about propagation and skipping your signal.
Ah, right. So different bands behave differently. You'd know if you listen to your radio in your car, the old analogue radio that is, that your AM can travel quite a long distance, but maybe the audio quality is not as good as Curtin FM.
Yes.
Which is a much higher frequency. So you get a much better quality, but it doesn't travel as far. Though, I must say, Curtin FM, I'm actually amazed at how far you guys get.
Yes.
So, with some of our old HF, let's call it, which is what people sometimes identify as traditional amateur radio, I can stick a wire up a tree. And if the conditions are right, my signal will go up, it'll bounce off the ionosphere, and it'll land somewhere else. And I can, to some degree, predict where it might go.
Wow.
There's a lot of fun sometimes in finding out where it ended up. So you might key up your mic and call CQ, which basically means I'm seeking you, and you get somebody in Hungary or Russia call you back. And I'm like, oh, wow.
What do I do now?
That's right. Oh, I'm going to have something to say. You can also, this is the extremes of the hobby. You can also pick up your smartphone. You can download an app, and it will ask you lots of license information just to make sure that you are allowed to use it. But when you get on there, you can actually connect into networks around the world. So I can jump on my smartphone, and I can key up a transmitter in the United Kingdom, and I can talk to people in Scotland, Wales, and Cornwall all at once on that radio system.
Wow.
And the same applies for Australia and Brazil and all sorts.
My last question for you, Daniel, is it an expensive hobby to become involved with?
It doesn't have to be. It can be. If you've got the budget and you want to spend thousands of dollars, there's some really nice gear out there. Me, I'm a bit of a spendthrift. I use older equipment. And I got on air for about $50, to be honest.
Wow, okay. Now, if somebody was interested, they could perhaps come along to one of your club meetings or something and maybe even buy some second-hand kit.
Anything's possible. What I would do, if people are ready to jot down a web address, while I try and remember what it is, vk6.net.
vk6.net, yeah.
Yeah, if you go there, that's our news service. So we have our own national and local news service that broadcasts every week. If you go to that website, they've got links to all the clubs and training information, all sorts.
There you go. So if you're interested in a radio, or amateur radio, ham radio, vk6.net, and you can get yourself on board. Daniel, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Not a problem. And one last plug.
The Hills
Amateur Radio Group is awesome.
Good on you, Daniel. Thanks.
Cheers, bye.
See you, mate. Daniel Sutton there, and his last little plug. Good on him. Why not?